This is Untangled, a series from All Sides and WOSU that takes a complicated topic and untangles it for you. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This season, Untangled has been tackling caregiving. Last year, a record number of people turned 65. What was once the standard retirement age has become another year of work for many people. Generations are living longer than their predecessors. And as more people live into their 80s and even their 90s, they're going to need care. Just about everyone will either need caregiving or will become a caregiver at some point in their life. And it's an understatement to say that our healthcare system is complicated. But when it comes to specific policies on how to make the system work better, that's where issues arise. The final chapter of our series on caregiving is looking at how to make the complicated system a little easier to navigate. Up first, we'll hear from Beth Kowalczyk, CEO of the Ohio Association of Area Agencies on Aging. Beth, welcome to All Sides.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start off by talking about your organization oversees or helps all of the area agencies on aging. So can you tell me, what is an area agency on aging?
Sure. Let me first say that the association supports the area agencies on aging, which is different from the Department of Aging, which oversees aging programs. And some people are confused by that. The area agencies on aging are a network, a national network that was created by federal law in the 80s to provide supports to older adults to age in place in their homes and communities. And the area agencies on aging in Ohio, there's 12 of them, so broken out into 12 regions, and they are really embedded in their communities and are able to assess the needs for people who are over 60 and determine where federal and state and local funding can go to support efforts to help people age in place in their homes and to promote healthy aging.
Okay. And so your organization helps those organizations, you advocate for them rather than, like, the Department of Aging is actually in charge of them, right? The Ohio Department of Aging.
Yes, the Ohio Department of Aging oversees the programs that the federal and state have. And then our association, yes, we advocate for our agencies that are our members. And then we also advocate for older adults, people with disabilities, and caregivers.
So what is your organization's relationship to the state government? I mean, are you at the, you know, at the Capitol talking about policy?
Absolutely. Yes, that is one of our main roles at the association, is to bring a voice for our members, for the area agencies on aging and the people they serve, both at the State House and also with state and federal agencies.
All right. So I'm sure you have a list of a million priorities because this is a complicated topic. So let's start with one. What is something that you're talking with state lawmakers about right now that could, that the area agencies on aging really need?
I'm so glad you asked that, because we're right in the middle of another state budget, a biennial budget, and one of the, our top priorities is to increase funding for a program that provides supports to people outside of the Medicaid program, and allow, it's a flexible funding source that goes to the AAAs to then help support their communities, and it had a lot of funding back in the early 2000s, and it had been cut over several years. And we're advocating to increase that funding substantially because that really contributes to healthy aging and to helping people stay in their homes with just maybe a little bit of support rather than having to consider going into a nursing home or going on to Medicaid.
And how does your organization try to implement these new policies? I mean, are you going to lawmakers and actually asking them to, like, propose a bill? Or are you trying to influence the budget?
It could be either. Right now it is the budget. And so we have been, we talk about the budget all the time because it's not just when it's introduced at the State House. The governor's office and his cabinet members have to present a budget that will be presented to the legislators at the State House. So we're advocating with our state departments, particularly in this case, the Department of Aging and the governor's office to increase funding in this area. Unfortunately, that increase did not make it into the budget as it was introduced this month. So we are now meeting with lawmakers. I just did testimony last week before the committee that is hearing aging issues in the budget. And we are going to continue, all of our area agencies on aging are going to continue meeting with legislators over the course of the next several months as the budget goes through the legislative process.
What did you testify about? What did you ask for?
This funding that I've been talking about mm-hmm. is called the Senior Community Services Program, and it is that flexible funding. It's state funding, and it matches federal funding that we get. But it has the opportunity to be very flexible, and it can be something as simple as supporting meals, additional meals, to transportation, to personal care, home modifications, all sorts of things. And we just don't have enough funding to provide those supports. And one of the things I said in my testimony was that these lower cost, less intensive interventions will help people stay in their homes longer and will save the state money.
This is Untangled Caregiving from All Sides. We're talking about the future of caregiving, especially when it comes to policy, with Beth Kowalczyk, the CEO of the Ohio Association of Area Agencies on Aging. I noticed on your website that you hold a conference in March to talk with policy and legislative and to talk about initiatives. What is the focus of that conference? Is it the same thing you were just talking about the community support?
Yes, that is a big focus. It's really about engaging our members as well as the Aging Network in Ohio to understand the power of advocacy and to talk about policies. We have the director of Medicaid and director of aging coming, talking about the state's priorities. And we engage with legislators at a legislative reception. So it is our opportunity. It's kind of like our lobby day, mm-hmm. but with some policy workshops and things to help people understand what are the hot topics and how can they get involved in advocacy.
Okay. And you mentioned nursing homes. So, I mean, obviously nursing homes are expensive. They get talked about a lot when it comes to, you know, payments and Medicaid and the workers and that kind of thing. So for people who work in a nursing home, historically speaking, they made more money than these home workers or these direct care workers. Why is that?
I think it is, there could be a number of things. I think one of them is just understanding the value of home and community-based services. Mm-hmm. It's not been a priority for policymakers at the federal or state level. Most people, when they think about aging, they automatically think about nursing homes and don't think about all of the other supports and resources that we really should be investing in. And so that is one of the key areas we advocated for in the last budget, was to provide increased funding to reimburse home care agencies so they could pay their workers more. So essentially advocating for a higher wage for home care workers, and particularly for older adults. That enables older people to have access to those services, just like they might in a nursing home.
And that did pass, right? The paying the home care workers more. They are being paid more now.
Yes, yes. And one of the other priorities in our budget advocacy this year is to ask the state to come up with a way to review those rates periodically, annually or biannually. Usually what happens is we have to go to the legislature during the budget and ask for increases. Mm-hmm. So now the advocacy among a number of our sister organizations and ourselves is asking the departments to come up with a way to review rates and actually look at the annual cost of care so that it's fair.
Now, you mentioned this idea of staying in their home. Do you hear that from all of the area agencies on aging that you talk to around the state? Is that what they hear from most people? The goal is to stay in their home and age in place as long as possible?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a need for care across the spectrum. At some point, people might feel like they need to be in an institutional setting and get 24-hour care. But people generally want to be in their homes and their communities. That has been found by numerous surveys, but it's also, you know, anecdotal across the state, across the country. And so I think that that's why policymakers really need to start looking at how do we help support that initiative.
So is the way to help support that initiative is to either have the home care workers, we need more of them? I always hear there's a shortage of home care workers. Is that true? Is there a shortage?
Yes, I think the last rate increases actually helped. Mm-hmm. So the there are more workers, they're better able to retain them. But it's still the highest in demand job, underpaid, mm-hmm. and not necessarily as valued maybe as some other jobs. And I think that needs to change. That's definitely an issue. And I also think it really comes back to looking at how we think about aging. And the value that we place on all of us as we grow older. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of gets in the way of recognizing how we should be thinking about these kind of services to help people in their homes. So absolutely, very specific rate increases, continuing to review that. But I think having a broader view and a different understanding of aging so that people are motivated to look at our lifespan in a different way.
So tell me more about that. How can you, in your position, how can you advocate for people to, what am I trying to say? I guess care more about the elderly? Is that what you're,
I'm going to reframe that.
Yeah, reframe. Yes, please do, because I wasn't sure how to say it.
That's absolutely right. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I've been involved in for 5 years now is the Reframing Aging Initiative. Mm. And what that is about is really telling the real story about aging in a way that has people think differently about it. Aging is not a population. It's a process, and we're all doing it. And so as we think about these priorities and policies, we really need to think about them in a way and how it impacts all of us. So at some age, we don't just get put into this other population, and the rest of us have to care for those people. That's us. So we need to be thinking about that as we're making these policies or advocating for these policies. So one of the main things that I like to talk about is thinking about how all of us as we age still have contributions we can make. And it's not all about caring for those people. It's enabling them to be empowered, to be able to be engaged in their communities and their homes. And that's also why we want to advocate for more home and community-based services. And it's not just personal care. It's also going as far as age-friendly communities where our communities are adjusting to their aging population in a way that will support everyone. And so, you know, there's so many different things. And so I like to think about reframing aging when I'm advocating to policymakers. I have a button that I wear that says "Aging so cool, everyone's doing it." And that's a shout out to Age Friendly Columbus. That's their button. And it really helps policymakers and legislators think about it a little bit differently as they're considering our advocacy.
And let's talk for a second, not just about these home care workers who can come into your home and help you that you pay them, but then there's also family caregivers. So the idea that someone takes time away from their work, or they just add it in, they have a full-time job, they're taking care of kids, but they're also helping their parents. Is there any policy that the state can do to help family caregivers?
Yeah, I think so. There's so many things that could be done. You know, again, increasing the supports that are available so that they aren't necessarily needed in the home 24/7, having these supports of someone that can do transportation, for example, when they need to get somewhere. But even in a bigger scope, things like long-term care insurance that actually is affordable and that can cover these services.
I'm smiling because we did a show and someone mentioned long-term care insurance, and it is very expensive.
Yes. Yes. And I think, you know, I hate to say that we should be looking at how we can save for long-term care, because nobody really thinks about it. They think about retirement, but they don't think about long-term care, but it's expensive. And I don't know that anybody could save enough to prepare for what might happen in that sense. Mm-hmm. So having long-term care insurance is one area. Tax credits to help. I think educating employers to be flexible about, you know, taking time off. I know there's a lot of efforts with employers to understand caregiving needs, because They have many workers who are the sandwich generation, and you're caring for kids and then you're caring for your parents. And so they really need to, if they want to retain workers, they have to understand how they can be a little bit more flexible and support them in that journey.
We have about little less than 2 minutes left in our segment, and you have a whole list of things in front of you, so I wanted to make sure to give you a chance. Is there any other policy that you want Untangled listeners to know about whenever it comes to how to improve the elder care system?
It's not policy, but I'm just going to make a pitch, and I know you've featured them several times, but always, if you have any questions about aging, about resources, contacting your area agency on aging, and they are national, so if individuals have folks, they have parents or others that they want to help in another state, they can contact the Elder Care Locator. You can just Google that. And that will help connect them to their area agency on aging. I think that's one of the things that we have made a priority. It's not necessarily a policy priority, but it's really getting the word out. We really need to tell people that we're there for them and that we should be their first start, because then we can connect them to all these different resources.
So help is out there, and there's these agencies everywhere in the country, but then you said there's 12 here in Ohio, and they can connect you with resources, they can help you, but you have to just know what to call them. So here in Central Ohio, it's they call themselves COAAA, Central Ohio Area Agency on Aging, but they're all throughout the state?
Yes. If you go to ohioaging.org, we have a map and links to all 12 area agencies on aging.
All right. Well, thank you to Beth Kowalsik, the CEO of the Ohio Association of Area Agencies on Aging. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me today.
And coming up, we're going to get a lawmaker's view on healthcare policy. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Untangled, a series from All Sides and WOSU that takes a complicated topic and untangles it for you. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This season, Untangled has been tackling caregiving. It's the final episode in our series, and we're looking at healthcare policy. In our first segment, we heard from a leader of a statewide network that advocates for agencies that are providing services to older adults. Now we're going to hear from an Ohio lawmaker about what they can do to help seniors. We did reach out to multiple Republican members of the Ohio legislature, but none were able to participate today. Joining us is Ohio House Minority Leader Representative Allison Russo. Welcome to All Sides.
Good morning, Amy.
Thank you for being here. Many people are concerned about the cost of caregiving. You, as a lawmaker, I am sure people talk to you about that, about how expensive it is. Is there anything that the state can do to help alleviate concerns and worries about the cost of caregiving?
Yeah, well, there are quite a few things that we can be doing, we have done, but certainly more that we should do. We know that as Ohio's population ages rapidly, not only do we have more older adults in the state, but we also have more caregivers. So whether you're taking care of an aging spouse, an aging parent, there are many things that we can be doing to not only make sure that people are aging in a more healthy way, but also ensuring that we are able to keep them in homes and stable housing, getting the lower cost and more efficient and sometimes more effective care that they need before we get into those more expensive forms of care like long-term care, or we have circumstances where caregivers perhaps need to leave the workforce to then take care of an aging spouse or an aging family member.
Yeah. And are there any policies that you are currently working on at the state level in order to help with things like that, with all of the costs and the money? Is there anything that you're trying to look at in the budget or even just a separate bill.
Yeah. Yeah. As your previous guest mentioned, you know, we are in the middle of the state budget process at the moment, and there are several key policy areas, many of which she talked about. And, you know, first and foremost, it is making sure that those caregivers who perhaps come into the homes, so the direct service professionals, that we continue to sustain that workforce with livable wages. We did a lot of work in the last budget cycle to get those wages up because it was really at a critical point where we were losing individuals from that workforce. So these are in-home workers, for example, and maintaining those wages, that is critically important. Your previous guest also talked about, you know, some areas of funding, the senior community services, that type of funding, also the healthy aging grants. Those are funds that not only the state puts in, but they are matched by the federal government. And we used those to help, you know, those day services for seniors, meal services, transportation, all of those things that allow people to age in a more healthy and better way in their homes, in our communities, before it gets to the point where we have to go into long-term care.
Now, there has always been an issue with the home care workers versus workers who work in nursing homes. Nursing homes are, in and of themselves, more expensive. They take a lot of money to run. But in the past, nursing home workers made significantly more money than home care workers. I mean, that's kind of why you were seeing fewer home care workers. So as a lawmaker, you work to change that. You just mentioned that they are now making more per hour.
Yeah, so this was a big area of focus in the last operating budget. And so far, the governor's as introduced budget maintains that level of funding to go to wages, but we were able to get those wages up to now at $18 an hour, in some cases more, depending on the agency.
They used to be $12 an hour.
That's correct.
Was, yeah,
they were some of our lowest paid workers. And if you think about, you know, taking care of some of our most vulnerable individuals in our communities, and those workers were leaving, you know, they could go work at Costco, for example, for much more money. And the effect of this was that you were taking family members that were having to step in for those needs. And, you know, many family members were then having to leave the workforce, which, you know, has a double whammy effect. Not only does it impact the household incomes of those family members, but also, you know, just further exacerbates our workforce shortages that we have here in the state of Ohio. So we were able to get those wages up. Our hope is to sustain those through this budget cycle as well. But critically important, especially as our population ages, the needs of those individuals will only increase. And again, we want to meet those needs in individuals' homes, in less intensive housing for as long as possible.
Now, what can the state do? A lot is talked about Medicaid reimbursements, and sometimes it's hard to understand what the federal government controls versus what the state government controls. But, you know, if you have someone come into your house and care for you and you are using Medicaid, can you use Medicaid for that? Does the state have any control over how much they're getting paid via Medicaid?
Yes, absolutely. So Medicaid, a joint state and federal program, for every dollar that we spend as a state on the Medicaid program, we draw down federal resources that match at a certain rate those funds. So it helps our dollars go much further. Mm-hmm. So the more that the state puts in into, you know, whether it is direct service, professional wages and reimbursement rates, or other things, other reimbursement rates, we are drawing down a significant amount of federal resources as well to help those dollars go further. So critically important, you know, there's a lot of debate right now at the federal level about Medicaid and cuts to Medicaid program. I think what many people don't understand is Medicaid is the primary funder of many of our services for taking care of our seniors in our communities. And it would be devastating to their care and the resources that we have to meet the needs of our aging population here in Ohio.
Yeah. And just to clarify, Medicare is an insurance program. You pay like a monthly fee the same way you would with private insurance. That's Medicare. But when you run out of money because your care costs a lot, then that's when Medicaid kicks in.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. So Medicare exclusively a federal program, Medicaid, joint state and federal program. Many seniors often do meet the need. They get that we call it spend down and become eligible for services that are reimbursed by both Medicaid and sometimes Medicare at the same time. So they often will work jointly together for many of our seniors.
This is Untangled Caregiving from All Sides in WOSU. We're talking about how policymakers can work to improve our elder care system with Ohio House Minority Leader Representative Allison Russo. Now, Medicaid is a huge part of Ohio's budget. I mean,
That's right.
It's a lot of money.
Significant.
Yes.
Yeah, significant.
So, I mean, this is something, you know, this is something when we're speaking just about the elder care portion of it. This impacts a lot of people to be able to use this money and have this money. Are you worried about the federal money going away and Ohio having to make it up?
Well, of course, we're worried because Medicaid touches many Ohioans, particularly our older population, because of the way that is used to help with many of these services that we have for our seniors. Obviously, we're following the debate very closely at the federal level because cuts to the Medicaid program will certainly impact our state budget. As you noted, it is a significant part of the state budget, but part of the reason that it is so significant is because not only the amount of money that we spend as a state, but the significant amount of money that we then are able to draw down from the federal government because of the money that we put forward. And it allows us to provide critical health care services for a number of people, particularly our older population. In fact, most Medicaid dollars are spent for our aging population.
In the last segment, Beth talked about something that she's advocating for at the state level, which is more money for community programs, more money for the area agencies on aging. But she said, unfortunately, in this budget, it's kind of, I mean, it's still in there, but it didn't increase, right?
That's right.
It's not too late. Is there any thought to increasing to give these area agencies on aging some more funding to help people stay in their homes?
Yeah. So outside of the Medicaid spending, you know, we have these other line items of funding that's particularly important for our agencies. She noted the Senior Community Services program in particular, and that program is great because it allows a lot of flexibility for those types of program and services. Right now, the funding, we think, we being the House Democratic Caucus, I think that funding should at least be doubled from what we saw in the governor's as introduced budget. We also have that works alongside that are these healthy aging grants as well. I think those were funded at a level about $40 million, which is pretty consistent with what we have seen in the last budget. So there is opportunity, I think, to get more money into these services because, frankly, the need is growing. Flat funding just doesn't make a lot of sense in this space because mm-hmm. we have more older adults in Ohio. Again, we are aging quite rapidly here in the state, and our budget spending and priorities should reflect that need.
Yeah, Ohio is a rapidly aging state. We're supposed to have more 80-year-olds than ever in the next 5 years. So I think, how do you feel about doubling that in the budget? That's a big ask.
Well, it is a big ask, but I think, you know, we have opportunity there. A budget is always about choices and priorities. Mm-hmm. I would much rather see money go into this program where there is tremendous need and we know that the impact is significant than, say, another tax cut for the super wealthy. I mean, again, a budget is choices. And the important thing I want to note about this budget is we have the revenue to be able to do this spending. It is about making the choices of where the spending makes the most sense and where the need is. And there are lots of opportunities there for us to make up this funding.
And a couple of things that have come up along the way in us doing our caregiving series that I'm not sure if they're being considered, but we could give it a try, is property tax relief for seniors so that they can stay in their homes longer. Is that
a huge priority for us? It's been talked about, over-talked about. It's an issue for every single community. It's probably the top issue that many of us hear about.
So they own their homes, most
Correct.
Likely, because they're seniors and they've lived in them for a long time. They've paid off their mortgage, but now they're they can't afford the property taxes.
That's right. So seniors most live on a set income. And so as property taxes increase, you know, meeting that increased cost means that either they can't afford to stay in their homes or they have to make choices. They pay less for food, for example. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is an issue that we've been talking about a lot. There are good bipartisan bills to give direct relief, even targeted direct relief, mm-hmm. particularly for older residents. Unfortunately, the majority has not prioritized this. In fact, we did not see any property tax relief in the governor's as introduced budget. In my opinion, we have talked this issue to death. We have studied it to death. We know what the issue is. Again, it's about making choices. We have the revenue available to provide direct relief, particularly to seniors, and we should be doing it. It's a matter of passing the policy to do it.
And then another policy that has come up several times is more protections for paid time off for family members who take time to be a caregiver. Has there been any thought about that?
Yeah. So actually, paid family leave is a piece of legislation that I've worked on as well mm-hmm. over the years. You know, it's interesting that there seems to be more recognition on both sides of the aisle that this is an issue that we should provide some solution to, whether we're talking about a new parent who's dealing with a new baby or an adoption, or you've got a caregiving situation for a sick and aging family member as well. So there are policies that have been introduced that the biggest barrier often is, particularly if you work for a small employer, being able to access an affordable plan. So one of the policies that I have put forward, other members have put forward, is to create a state program so that every employee and employer is putting into the state program so that everyone, no matter if you are a large employer or a small employer, that you have access to this fund that is the funding for it is by the employer employees. And it's a relatively low cost. We've seen this in other states. Colorado, for example, passed with great success.
Yeah. And in the next segment, we're going to have Jenny Carlson from AARP Ohio come on, and she's going to talk about, because she already has told me about this, she's going to talk about wanting a tax break or some kind of stipend for family caregivers.
Yeah. So the mm-hmm. other actually bill that I've worked on as well in the past is looking at a state income tax credit for caregivers specifically to help pay for some of these expenses, for example, modifications that you may make to a home, et cetera. We've actually seen also the equivalent being introduced in a bipartisan way at the federal level. It hasn't passed, but you know that is also something that the federal Congress is looking at as well. So a break or a tax credit on your federal income taxes. We would like to see the same thing for state income taxes. Other states have done this. There are a couple of different versions of this that have floated around in previous General Assemblies, and you will see it again in this General Assembly.
Yeah, that. You know, the aging population of the state of Ohio, is it something that you feel like all lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, they realize it. They realize we have to deal with this. You can't wait. You have to prepare for, you know, these people are going to keep getting.
Right.
Well,
certainly we all have to deal with it on some level, on a personal level. Do I think that it is being treated with a sense of urgency that it should be treated with? No, mm-hmm. I don't. And that is incredibly frustrating. You know, I think that is the problem. There's a disconnect between the sense of urgency. We know it's an issue. We can't deny that. We are all personally dealing with it as well. But what are the things and the steps that we need to be doing as a state to plan for it long term? We've struggled with that. And I think we've been more in reactive mode. So, for example, we let the direct service provider issue with the wages get to such a critical point mm-hmm. that we had to step in, and it had a really big price tag to it. There are things along the way that we could be doing that will reduce not only the impact, but also the overall cost that we will have to eventually deal with. We can't get away from it.
I feel like in my time of following the state legislature, I feel like talking about nursing homes and building more nursing homes and funding nursing homes comes up a lot more than home care. Do you think that the priority has been nursing homes for longer than home care?
Well, certainly the nursing home community has a much stronger lobbying presence at the State House. And so it has, you are right, has gotten a lot more attention in the past. You know, we need to put as much, if not more, emphasis on everything that comes before the nursing home piece. You know, when you bring up lots of opportunities for housing, housing is an issue across the board, having more housing, whether we're talking about affordable housing, workforce housing. But another critical area of need is senior housing. And mm-hmm. I'm not talking about nursing home care. I'm talking about affordable senior housing that allows individuals maybe to transition from a single family home to something that is more affordable, but lower
and
intensity.
More, and more manageable.
And more yeah. manageable. That's mm-hmm. right. Than before they eventually have to get to nursing home care. And we have a shortage of housing stock in that space as well. And so figuring out how we can better create incentives for those types of developments is another critical policy area that we should be much more proactive and leaning in more heavily into, but haven't.
Yeah, it was like, can the state build more senior citizen apartment buildings?
Well, it's not even about the state yeah. doing it. It's yeah. about what incentives do we provide so that developers can put together the financial packages mm-hmm. to be able to create those opportunities. Or at the local level, you know, what are zoning modifications, mm-hmm. for example, that can be made to get rid of some of the red tape and the barriers so that those projects can get off the ground. So there are lots of things that we could be doing in that space also.
All right, we're down to the last minute that we have, and I wanted to, you have a whole slew of notes in front of you, so I'm just going to say, what is one more thing about making elder care easier for Ohioans that's on your plate?
Well, again, I think we've covered, you know, some of the big picture pieces, but it is about making sure that our state budget reflects this as a priority moving forward, and there's a lot more work to do. And, you know, this should be a very nonpartisan issue. We all are going to age. We all have family members who are going to age, and we need to give them the dignity and the respect that they deserve.
Thank you to Ohio House Minority Leader Representative Allison Russo. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Amy.
Coming up, we're going to get a nonpartisan perspective on the health care policy from AARP. That is when Untangled continues from all sides on 89.7 NPR News.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. A First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Untangled, a series from All Sides and WOSU that takes a complicated topic and untangles it for you. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This season, we have been untangling caregiving. And we wrap up our Inside Caregiving series with a focus on healthcare policy. It's hard enough to navigate a complicated system when both parties have a specific agenda. We heard from a lawmaker. We also heard from an organization that advocates for policy change. So how do we create policies everyone can agree with? We're joined now by the director of the Ohio branch of the AARP, Jenny Carlson. Jenny, welcome back to All Sides.
Thank you, Amy. I'm so pleased to be here.
So you testified regarding the budget bill and the idea of helping seniors. Can you tell us more about your time at the state capitol and what you were talking about?
Yeah, no, thank you. So last week I had the opportunity to testify in front of the House Children and Human Services Committee on the budget provisions supporting the Ohio Department of Aging budget. It's important to note that this year the the Speaker of the House has said, okay, we're going to divide the budget up into several pieces and parts. He's assigned it to the Finance Committee, and then he's pushing down all the subject categories to the committees of relevance. And so that committee did hear the full portfolio of the Department of Aging budget. And so I talked about the critical needs of the nearly 5 million older Ohioans and how the budget is strengthening the capacity of the aging network, in particular the home and community-based services, and that provides a pathway to reduce the reliance on more expensive alternatives and provides Ohio's 1.5 million caregivers with the support they need to remain in the workforce. And that's really important because our state, our workforce, our businesses, our communities really need to be prepared to meet the current and future needs of people of all ages, including the responsibilities of caregivers, which is so near and dear and important to my heart. So there were many different aspects that I had the opportunity to talk about and help to put into perspective that not only are we strong supporters of the pieces and parts of the aging director's request through Governor DeWine, I also had the opportunity to talk a little bit about the essential investments and the supports of things that might be missing, like supporting missing middle. And as they age, it's really crucial to focus in on that, on this group, and how they often face unique challenges and accessing appropriate housing, healthcare, financial support. Missing middle typically refers to those individuals who earn a little bit more than the ability to qualify for traditional low income assistance like Medicaid, but too little to afford market rate housing or services that meet their needs. So as they age, it's really important to focus on this population too. There was a lot of conversation around systems and supports around community-based services, supports that are funded through the Medicaid program. But then I also had the opportunity to talk about missing middle and other pieces and parts that are really important to Ohio.
So let's talk a little bit more about that missing middle segment, because I hadn't heard that phrase before. So it's people who are not, I don't know how else, another way to say it, but they're not poor enough for Medicaid, right? But they have some money, but they can't afford maybe an in-home caregiver to come every single day. Is that what you mean?
That's absolutely right. So maybe we can take a step back. It's important to look at data, making sure that we have the right information at our fingertips. And so 1 in 4 Ohioans will be over the age of 60 by 2030. And the implications of an aging state are considerable. And so we've got to be really thoughtful about the financial impacts of living longer, healthcare, long-term care costs, and they're all continuing to rise. And those costs borne by the state via Medicaid, we need to make sure that those are kept in check, because it's more pressure on the state general revenue fund. So we know that often healthcare, long-term care costs are overlooked in retirement planning, and so leading to financial insecurity. So about 80% of older adults lack resources for long-term care or financial emergencies. And so this is in addition to lower labor force participation as the population ages. It could place significant financial strain on our state. So this is why we're weighing in heavily to make sure that we're supporting evidence-based strategies that improve the quality of life for Ohio aging residents and bolster our economy. And so investing in proven, preventative, proactive, whole aging alternatives can disrupt the growth of Medicaid dependence and bend the cost curve. And that's important for lawmakers to understand. And so we want to empower older adults to remain independent, but then also make sure that they're engaged, healthy in communities, so they have exponential benefits. There are home and community-based strategies within the budget where there are Older American Act dollars that the Department of Aging has the ability to push down on the community level, but there's a lot more that we need to do in terms of ensuring people are saving, ensuring that people are prepared to retire so that they really understand what it means to be financially resilient. It's really important to take a step back to understand what can you do within your healthcare benefits to make sure that we're creating healthier economies of scales. So I talked a lot about what's in the budget, how services can be better coordinated with other nonprofit entities that are supported by government, and then offered up, some creative solutions that aren't quite the budget yet that are top priorities of AARP, much like the Credit for Caring Act.
Oh, yes. So tell us about the Credit for Caring Act. This is for people who take the time to help family members as family caregivers, and you want that to be a state priority. Is that right?
We do. It definitely is in, it is a priority on the national level. I'll get to that in a second. But so that you understand, and everyone listening, Ohio family caregivers spend on average more than $7,200 annually. And that's 26% on average of their income. And these are out-of-pocket expenses. And so it becomes quite costly to be a caregiver. And that's also about 1.4 billion hours of care. That translates up to $21 billion of unpaid labor of care for an aging parent, a spouse, a loved one, a community individual that you're supporting. And so we know, according to AARP research, caregiving costs, there's about $67 billion of lost earnings that's either disrupted within the marketplace. People are leaving their workplace to make sure that they're becoming care champions for their loved ones, their community members. And so if there's a way that we can work more with the business community to make sure that, these individuals are being supported. So a strategy that AARP is promoting is allowing for individuals who are in the workplace, who are caregivers, to allow for them to apply for a tax credit. 42% of Ohio family caregivers report that they had to leave the workforce because or reduce hours due to caregiving responsibilities. So if we can offer up a tax credit to incentivize individuals to remain in their workplace, it's better for the economy. And it's better for them to be being at home too, because it costs a lot to replace those individuals in the workforce. We are on the heels of a federal bill to be reintroduced. We are working with Ohio Congressman Mike Carey on the Credit for Caring Act, which would offer a $5,000 federal tax credit to help offset family caregiving related expenses such as home care aides, adult day services, home modifications, respite care for the caregiver. And so this credit is targeted at working families. And to be eligible for the tax credit, again, the family caregiver must have a certain earning level. It's $7,500 in earning income annually. They need to be working. I think that's important. We have to strengthen our economy, support our workforce, our aging workforce. And then they have the ability to have a credit, 30% of the qualified expenses that are paid out. So it's not expenses that would normally be paid out from an insurance portfolio. Those are expenses on top of it. We're pleased with this progress on the national level. We want to turn our attention to the state level to get something like this similar in practice enacted as well. With regard to the federal initiative, again, it's going to be introduced pretty soon. President Trump supports it. It's a top AARP tax priority. So we're hopeful that it's going to get introduced and it will be part of the tax package that is expected to be adopted by Congress later in this year.
Okay. So if it's a federal tax credit, are you saying that you're hoping Ohio also does a similar one? So it would be two different levels?
Correct.
Okay.
And so further incentivizing our workforce to remain in place and be that family caregiver, because they're the backbone of our U.S. care.
And when you take a look at the idea of, you know, the high cost of nursing homes versus the cost of in-home care, whether that's having someone come in to help you or it's a family caregiver, do you think that the state is leaning in enough to that home care option? Do you think that we've spent enough time trying to keep people in their homes?
There are the right investments in a defined budget. That's really hard to say. You know, I would love to see significantly more services being invested on the state level. We as a society, we know that individuals want to age in place. Most people want to age in place. And so getting earlier on, making sure that we have those right home and community-based services, making sure that individuals are receiving the right care, that they have the transportation, that they're eating healthy meals, that they're in programmatic activities so that we can make sure that we're reducing social isolation, continuing to support that individual in their home, making sure that they live in a safe environment. Because the more we can keep them there, we can bend the cost curve and the less reliance on a state-backed government-sponsored health system, which is Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And so most people, as they age, when they go into nursing homes, at some point they likely will be on the Medicaid program. And so that cost, it's considerable. It's over $110,000 per year. If an individual has dementia or other complex healthcare issues, like individuals who are within the military, it's a lot more expensive to be in those types of facilities. And so as a society, we need to do a better job of working on the front end, investing in home and community-based services. But it's also an issue for us to get out in front of and incentivize individuals to take care of their loved ones in their homes. Mm-hmm. And that's why we think we're doubling down on the tax credit. It's a smart investment.
I want to say thank you to Jenny Carlson, director of the Ohio branch of AARP. Jenny, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
And this has been Untangled Caregiving, a series from All Sides and WOSU. If you missed any of the episodes in this series, you can find them by subscribing to the Untangled podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Support for Inside Caregiving is powered by the Storytellers Trust. Also, you can learn more about WOSU Public Media's multimedia project Inside Caregiving at wosu.org/inside. There's 6 news features, several video stories, all the episodes of Untangled. You can also join us for a live town hall on this issue at the WOSU headquarters on Wednesday, February 26th. If you can't make the town hall, you can watch it live on WOSU TV and online. Again, that's 8 p.m. on Wednesday, February 26th. This has been Untangled Caregiving. I'm Amy Jurevich.